I'd ask that you turn with me for the reading of God's word for the scripture this morning in Revelation chapter 22 as we continue our theme and our series on heaven. Revelation chapter 22, we'll be reading verses 1 through 4, the last chapter of the book, which shares with us the hope that we have to look forward to that God is preparing for us of one day when we see the Lord. Scripture says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding the fruit, every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. And they will see his face. And his name will be on their foreheads." Here to read him God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for its truth and the hope that we have that someday we will see your face. We will see you in the fullness of your glory. Lord, now we see you by faith and we look through a glass darkly. But someday we will see you in all the fullness and glory, and we long for that day. Lord, encourage us through your word this morning as we have been getting a glimpse of what your word teaches us about heaven and all that is in store for us. And Lord, as we're filled with the wonder and majesty of heaven, it encourages us in how we are to live for you now. And so we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a day when God had created everything, and it was beautiful, and it was good. And in 6 days, he had made a beautiful creation. And he called it, everything was great and everything was good. And the crowning glory of that creation was when he had made man. And he had placed them in that garden where he could walk with them every day and have fellowship. And in that time, they saw God face to face. Adam and Eve would walk with them. God would come down with them in the garden and they would see his face. And they would have that fellowship with him. And they would talk with him. What a beautiful day it must have been to be able to see God's face and to enjoy the beauty of creation and everything very good without being marred by sin, without all the destruction and brokenness that Adam and Eve's disobedience brought. But one day in that garden, Satan made a visit. And he came and he tempted Adam and Eve. And they took and they listened to his word instead of God's. And they disobeyed God. Then all of a sudden, that vision of God was no longer there. And God was no longer able to come down and visit with them and talk with them. And a separation between God and man came as a result of sin. And because of that, we have longed to see God and to see face to face and to be able to see the glory of God again, but it has been veiled. And from now to that day, we can only see God by faith because we cannot look on his face and live because of sin. But someday, we will see him and we will see his face. And right now, you hear my voice. Just as we hear the voice of God as he speaks to us through his word, and he has given us his word so that we can know him, but he speaks to us through his word, but we can't see his face. And right now you see my face and you hear me speaking to you, but you wonder, where in the world am I? And I am separated from you with a veil between us. And as when Israel had to worship in the temple, there was a veil that separated the most holy place from the holy place. And even the high priest, the priest could not go into the holy place of God. And it was separated because of a veil, because of that separation of sin. But Jesus came, and Jesus came God in the flesh. And it said when he died, that veil was torn in two. And the way was opened up. And right now, as we long for heaven, and we've been learning in God's word, he has to say to us, we long for the day that we will see his face. And we can't see his face now because of that separation. But someday, the veil will be gone, and we will enter into his presence, and we enter into heaven, and we will be able to see his face. And we will be able to see him face to face, and the glory of God, and that separation will be gone. In Revelation chapter 22, John shares with us a vision of that day when the New Jerusalem has come down and God is dwelling with us and we with him. And he says that we will see his face. The privilege that we will have to actually see him, the Lord who we love and served, the one who died for us, who we follow now by faith, who we look at through eyes of faith. Someday our literal eyes will see him. And we sang about it already, that I will see him face to face. And what a glorious day that will be. And that is our hope. And as we continue our journey through this series together on heaven, this morning we want to focus in on the day that we will behold him. What it will be like for us that day that we see Jesus. Now I can only imagine, and many of you have heard the song, I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. And they made a movie about it. And in that, Brett Ballard gives it a vision. He can only imagine what it would be like to stand in heaven for the first time and to see Jesus. And what our reaction there would be. And we don't know what our reaction would be. But he says, I fall down before him? Will I even be able to say anything? Will we just be so overwhelmed to see Jesus face to face? We'll probably be at a loss for words. And to be able to see him in his fullness. So let's see what the word of God has to say to us this morning about when we will behold him and the glory that that is for us. Five truths that we're going to discover this morning of what it means to see God and the blessings that come in our life. First is we will see the fullness of his glory. He says here that we will see his face. And he gives before this that the glory of God is going to come down, beautifully dressed as a bride for her husband. And we will see his face and live. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, because of sin, to see God's face was unthinkable and still is. We cannot look on God's face right now because of the sin in our life, even though Jesus came and died. It meant instant death. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Moses, who spoke to God, it says he would speak to God face to face, but he would actually not see his face, but God's spirit would speak to him. And he had to wear a veil over his face because he could not look directly onto the glory of God. But in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses said to the Lord, Lord, show me your glory. Let me see you in all of your glory. Let me see you for who you really are. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and have compassion on whom I have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And then the Lord said, there will be a place near me, and you may stand on the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of my rock and cover you there with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will remove my hand, and you will be able to see my back, but my face may not be seen. Even as close as Moses was to the Lord, he could not see the full glory of God. He could not look on his face. And it's because of the sin in our life, because of the fall that came into the garden and separated all of us from God. We can't see the full glory of God now, but someday we will see him as he really is. The scripture says we look through a glass darkly, but someday we will see him face to face. And I don't know, when we see the full glory of God, how are we going to respond to that? It's going to be so overwhelming to see him seated high on the throne, the Lord, majestic Lord of all. But you, because of your faith in Christ, will see the full glory of God someday. Isn't that awesome? We will see him as he truly is, the Lord of all, the Lord Almighty. That causes us to shout, to see him for who he is. Nadab and Abihu, who were the sons of Aaron, the brother of Moses, the first high priest, and his sons were to be ordained as priests. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10 were killed because they offered unholy fire to the Lord. They went into the presence of the Lord and they did not give him the respect that he was due. And see, we can't, his glory and honor is reserved, and because of the sin in our life, we can't see him now and live, but we will someday. And we will be welcomed into his very presence because the blood of Jesus opened up the way. It tore down the veil that separated us between us and God, the separation between us and God, and opened up the way, and the barriers between God and man will be removed and gone forever, and we will be with him and see his glory for all eternity. Isn't that awesome? That's what's ahead. We will see his face and live with him and see the full glory of God. Job said, as he was gone through his times of trial and adversity and suffering, he had hope. And he said, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. And even after my skin is destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall what? See God, whom I myself shall behold, whom my eyes will see and not another. My heart faints within me. And Job had that assurance, and he knew that someday he was going to see God face to face. And all those who have died in the Lord are right there now seeing our Savior face to face. And we have that hope too. And we will be with him and look on his face and be welcomed into his very presence. We will be fully righteous and without sin, and that's why we'll be able to look on his face and live. Because the sin will be removed from our life, we'll have our new transformed bodies, unable to sin anymore, and we'll be able to look on his face in complete holiness, because nothing impure can look on God, and he cannot look on sin. That's why he had to turn his face away from his only son on the cross. But we will be fully righteous and without sin and welcome before him. Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the writer there says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But we'll be able to see him in his glory because our sin will be removed and we will be like Christ. And without sin, and we will see him as he is in all of his glory and wonder. And I believe we'll be filled with awestruck wonder. We probably won't even be able to speak at all, I don't know, to see the full glory of God and who he is. So we will see him in his fullness. Now, when Jesus came to earth, he tabernacled with us, and John said, we have seen his glory, the full glory of God. And Jesus revealed the glory of God on earth through a body so that we could see him, but the glory was yet veiled. It wasn't the full glory of God, of Jesus, whenever he returned. And in Revelation chapter 1, John had a vision of the full glory and majesty of God, of Jesus, as he reigned and someday as he's coming king. But we will see his fullness. Second, to see God, we celebrate because we will see the source of our joy. That we see him, not only will see him in his glory, but we'll see the one who is the source of all of our joy in life. The one who gives us meaning and purpose. Out of the throne, it tells us, look in Revelation chapter 22,
Verse 1, he said, angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, and flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the street of the city was the river of life and the tree of life. And saying that God is the source of all that life and all that joy and all the good things you have in life. And the joy that you have is because of Jesus. He is the source of it all. And someday you will see him, the provider and the source of the joy in your life. Won't that be glorious? He is the one and the source of all. Praise God who from all blessings flow. It all flows from him. And you will see him someday, the source. To see God will be our greatest joy because all of our joys flow from him. And yes, when we get to heaven, we're going to be glad. We're going to be joy happy to see those, our loved ones who were there, our family members and loved ones who are in the presence of God now. And yes, we're going to be happy to see them, and it's going to be a reunion, and we'll be joyful and happy to see them. But I believe our greatest joy is going to see Jesus. Don't you? Because he's the source of all the others. Everything flows from him. And to be able to see him and enjoy him for all eternity. He is the fountain of joy. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, "For with you," talking about the Lord, "is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." The joy of Christ and the source of all of that, we will see him. And to see God will be our greatest joy because being with him and seeing his face is our deepest longing and desire. Because we all have that longing to be with Jesus and to be with the one who died for us and to be with him and for eternity. And he is the treasure that we seek. Nothing else on earth compares to him. And the greatest joy in heaven will be seeing him because he is the longing, the treasure we long for, the one we seek. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God, and I thirst for the living God." And Psalm 72, 26, 25, and 26 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you, and I desire you more than anything on earth. My heart will fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart, and he is mine forever." So when you get to heaven, you're going to see the source of all your joy, Jesus himself, the one who loves you, and the one who is the source of all the blessings in your life. A reason to rejoice. We see the fullness of his glory, we'll see the source of our joy, but third, we will see the wonder of his majesty. And just to see the wonder of who he is and of his glory, the great almighty God. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "But we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is." And we will see the wonder of his majesty and the wonder of getting to know him. And I believe as we get into heaven, it's going to take an eternity, and we're going to have an eternity with Jesus. And says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but someday we're going to see face to face. Now we know in part, but then we're going to know fully." And I believe that even in heaven, we can't know everything fully about God. I believe it's going to be an eternity of continuing to discover more and more of the wonder of the majesty of God. The great hymn says, "Amazing grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun to sing God's grace and fully understand the majesty of who he is." Eternity, just think of the eternity of discovering more and more every day of the wonder of God and seeing his majesty face to face. Isn't that going to be glorious? And we'll have a whole eternity to know him better and more fully in all of his glory as we discover that wonder and behold the wonder of his glorious majesty that we can only imagine right now. We're separated by a veil. We get glimpses of it in the scripture, but it says we're seeing through rose-colored glasses, through a dark glass. We can't see clearly that full majesty of God yet.
but yet someday we will. The wonder of knowing him and the wonder of being with him. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see but a dim reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, even as I am fully known. I believe Paul is saying there doesn't mean we're going to know everything about God, but we're going to continue to discover more and more wonder of him and of his majesty and the wonder of knowing him and the wonder of being with him and being with our Savior who loves us so. And when we see God, he says we will see his face. It's going to be glorious because we will see the beauty of his face. We will look on the one who died for us, the one who took the nails for you and for me, the one who left all the glories of heaven and came to this earth as a baby, limiting himself, taking on the form of a servant, going all the way to the cross and giving himself on the cross, allowing his life to be taken from him because he loved you so much. And someday you'll be able to go to heaven when you get there and see him and look on the face of the one who died for you. Overwhelming as we see the handprints and the nails in his hands, and scripture says those scars are there for all time. And there's a song by Casting Crowns that says the only scars in heaven are the scars on his hands that he died for us. But to look on the one who died for you and to see his face and to be held and hugged by him and to run up into his arms and say, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. Won't that be glorious? Someday that is our reality, that you will see the one who gave his life for you, the one who died for us. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days of my life and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And Isaiah chapter 33 verse 17 says, your eyes will see the king in his beauty, not may, but will. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty, and they will see the land that is very far off. And what is the land that is very far off you think he's talking about there? The new heaven and new earth. Yes. He said, your eyes will see that, and your eyes will see the king and all of his beauty. That is the assurance that we have through faith in Christ, that you will see his face. The one who died for you, the one who loves us, the one who saved us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. And if you know her story, when she was just a real, really young girl, a doctor performed surgery on her eyes, and he made a mistake and caused her to go blind. And she was blind from a very small age. But yet from her blindness, she had great spiritual insight. And she said, if I could ever meet the doctor that caused me to go blind, she said, what do you think she would have said? What would you have done if you could meet the doctor cause you to go blind? She said, if I could meet the doctor that caused me to go blind, I would shake his hand and say, thank you, doctor, for causing me to go blind, because when I went blind, I was able to see. And she said, the first person that my eyes are going to see is my Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you sing so many of the songs that Fanny Crosby wrote, they all talk about sight and seeing Jesus and that hope of looking on his face someday and seeing him and all of his glory. Wow. That's the hope we have. We will see his face. The one who loved us. The one, our Savior, Jesus, who we love and serve. And we will see, when we see him face to face, what joy it will be to look upon my Savior's scars and to know that they were for me. and that he did it for us. And last, we will see the goodness of our God. When John says here, we will see him, we will see his face, we will see the goodness of our God. And look back again in Revelation chapter 22. John describes for us a little bit about what God is preparing for us in the new heaven and new earth. And he already has it prepared. It's already there. Someday it will come down. But he said, down the middle of the throne of God, the street of each side of the city is a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit and yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. There will be no more night. They will not need the lamp or the light or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel and servants. These tell these things which must soon take place. Because we will see the goodness of our God, and that we will enjoy the goodness of his new creation. We will take pleasure in all the good things that he has made and will provide. Revelation chapter 22 just gives us a glimpse of what that new creation is going to be like. And there's a picture there of the city of gold of the New Jerusalem with the river of life down the middle and the tree of life on both sides. And it says that the fruit is going to be wonderful. And think of all the good things we have in this fallen world. And God has made a lot of good things we enjoy, a good meal, a good pleasure, a good movie, a lot of things that bring us joy that we enjoy, and they're all good things. But imagine in the new Jerusalem and the new world to have all those good things without the taint of sin and the curse removed. And we will enjoy, because when God made this world initially, he called it very good. So in the new Jerusalem, the new earth, it's going to be exceptionally good. And we will see and enjoy that goodness of God forever. And all the wonderful things that he has provided in the New Jerusalem for us. And we will take pleasure in that. And we will find pleasure there. And we will enjoy the goodness of God by being with him. And having all eternity to be with the one who died for us and to see his face. Imagine the goodness of eating with Jesus, of having a meal with him, or talking with him. You have a question you've always wanted to know. Jesus, I didn't understand why you said this in your word. I didn't understand what you meant when you said this. You can go up to him and talk with him and ask him, and he's going to have time for you because you are his sheep and he knows you by name. Imagine the joy and the goodness of just having a walk with Jesus. And taking a walk around the streets of the New Jerusalem, or maybe somewhere in the new creation, and you and Jesus go for a walk together and enjoy the goodness of that. Or the goodness of laughing with him. Just enjoying those presents together. And the good things of God's provision for us in the new creation, and the goodness of being with him. Doesn't that fill you with joy? And the hope of what we have to look forward to. We will see God. We will see his face. So we will see the fullness of his glory. The veil will be removed. Our sin will be dealt with. We can look on his face. We will see his full glory. We will see the source of our joy, the one who is a provider of it all. We will see the wonder of his majesty, the beauty of his face, and the goodness of our God. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in its city, and the servants will serve him, and they will see his face. Someday we shall behold him. And what a glorious day that will be. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for that hope and that assurance that we will see you. We will see your face. Right now, the scripture says no one can look on your face and live because of that sin that exists in us and that separation that is there that came in at the garden.
before that, Adam and Eve had fellowship with you and you talk with them, and there was no separation. They could look on your glory and live because the sin was not there. But sin brought that separation, and now we see through a glass darkly. We see things veiled, but someday that will be removed when we come into your presence and our sin is taken away forever, and we will be able to see you in your full glory and majesty. Lord, we long for that day, that we will enjoy your presence, that we will look on the face of the one who loved us, the one who died for us, who bore those nails for me and for every one of us here. And Lord, it fills us with wonder and majesty of the greatness of your love, and that we will behold you in the fullness of your glory. What that hope and assurances are is that along with Job, even in our times of suffering and trials here, we can say, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my flesh has decayed, I shall see God. Even my very eyes will see him and not another. And that assurance of Job sustained him in the hard times. And Lord, as we live in the wilderness, and the times of trial, temptation, and hardship until we cross the Jordan River into the promised land. Lord, we have that glimpses by faith. And Lord, may that assurance that Job had, that we know that our eyes will see you someday. Give us, Lord, the strength and endurance we need, that when our trials and labors are over and we stand on that beautiful shore, it will be glory for us to look on your face. And as Paul said, I consider the present trials and suffering nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us and to us on that day. So thank you for that hope and assurance through Jesus our Savior. And we ask this prayer in his name. Amen.